Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Kate, and I'm excited to welcome you to the show today. Remember, as you are enjoying the show, to hit that subscribe button and leave a review. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Jenny Lynn Schmid. Jenny has experienced as much change, loss, and grief as anyone can imagine, most of it by the time she graduated college. But she perfected Academy Award recovery at an early age and powered her way through a long, successful career as a corporate consultant and entrepreneur. After the most important person in her life died, she struggled through 9 months of debilitating grief that threatened her business and her marriage. Then she finally discovered the grief recovery method, and her purpose and calling became clear. She now coaches high-performing women leaders who have too much at stake to stay stuck, helping them recover from their past, release their grief, and reclaim their freedom to thrive. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia with her husband, the same one, and a revolving menagerie of rescue cats and dogs. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Kate. Good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, I am so excited to have you here today. So to get us started, if you would tell us a little bit more about yourself and your experience with burnout and your own journey to recovery.
Yeah, thank you. So as my intro kind of implies, I was one of those kids that lived through a lot of stuff growing up. And my response to that was to become an overachiever, perfectionist, you know, all that stuff. So probably by the time I hit my late 20s, I was already experiencing burnout on a regular basis, although I don't think I really had the language at the time or knew what to do about it. But mm-hmm. I can think of a few specific instances where I really can point and say I had burnout. One of them was about midway through my career as an entrepreneur. I was working for myself as an independent consultant, but working on multiple projects at a time. And I had what I called at the time sort of a nervous breakdown, you know, like the kind of thing where I just couldn't get out of bed, couldn't concentrate, had to make that embarrassing phone call to like three different clients and just say, I'm just out for a few days or a few weeks. I don't even know what it's going to be, you know? So talk about just going until you crash and burn. And I don't have any great stories of recovery. I probably just forced myself to get back to work pretty soon after that because I didn't have any options. Sure. But I will say, fast forward from there, maybe 10 or 15 years, I started to realize what my cycle was. And what I realized is that I can go pedal to the metal for maybe 2 months, juggling multiple projects or being overcommitted on one project and just working. And then I have a less serious crash than the one I described. But anyway, so my journey lately has been about A, recognizing my rhythms, B, figuring out how to be smart enough to get ahead of them, either by recognizing it earlier and doing something to stave it off, or by ideally building those healthy habits that help me, you know, stretch out that cycle. So it's not so predictable, you know, so it's more manageable instead of just happening to me. That's kind of what I'm working on.
Yeah, I so appreciate you sharing that you are really kind of in the middle of your journey with this right now, because I think that that's something that our audience members can probably really relate to. I mean, even I relate to that too, right? In that aspect, I think it is a continual journey. I don't think that we are ever in like a recovered space where it's like, oh, I'm never going to experience this again, right? So I definitely appreciate that it's like, I'm on the path.
I think so. I think that's like so many mental, physical, emotional journeys. It is a lifelong experience. It's not a, oh, it happened once and now it'll never happen again. I mean, that's just to jump right into it. That's one of the things I love about the tool that I use to help people with grief. Mm-hmm. It's not a one and done. And I don't teach it to people as a one and done. My goal is to help them build the habit of using it over and over again. It manages grief, but I think it also manages burnout for myself and the others too. So yeah, it's definitely, it's a long road. We just have to keep ourselves, you know, hydrated and healthy along that road.
For sure. You talked a little bit about recognizing the cycle that you have now where you can go full force for a couple of months and then, you know, have a crash and those kinds of things. What are some of the things that come up for you when you realize, oh, I have a crash coming on?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm doing a little better preventing the crashes. You know what I mean? It's not cyclical because I have it more top of mind more of the time.
Yeah.
But I think what happens for me first is just a feeling of overwhelm. Do you know what I mean? Like when I'm in fighting shape for it, I can manage those multiple work streams and my to-do list is up to date. And I know, you know, I'm tracking what's due and all that. And then suddenly I guess I get a little bit brain fog or something when I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Suddenly I can't remember everything that's going on and I can't remember what's happening next. And that's really a warning sign for me. And really the best recovery method I have or prevention method is just to turn it off for a while. Like yeah. I'm one of those people, I've gotten used to giving myself permission to go to the movies or somehow take the afternoon off, maybe just watch some mindless TV. Like for me, I just know that unplugging helps me recover.
Yeah, definitely. That makes so much sense in that regard. What are some of the, you mentioned that like now you're starting to get in a place where it's less of a cycle because you're recognizing it faster, you're preventing those crashes from occurring. So what are some of the things that you have incorporated into your life that support you in doing that?
You know what? I was hoping you were going to ask me a question that would set me up to say that you and I are accountability buddies.
That's true.
That is one of my secret weapons. I have several different accountability buddies, some of whom, like you, I meet with once a week. There's one or two that I meet with multiple times a week. Like yeah. We are part of each other's routine. And so, you know, that's a great place to blow off steam if you're just feeling overwhelmed or grouchy or need to vent about what's going right or vent about what's going wrong or celebrate what's going right. You know, if I have something that's sort of percolating as a problem that's going to lead to burnout and frustration, I can get one of my buddies to talk it through with me.
Yeah.
So it's not just sitting back there like a heavy weight waiting to pounce kind of thing. So I think accountability buddies is one of my strongest ones just because it's like almost a daily touch point to keep sane and focused on work. That makes me want to ask you. So it's kind of funny. I'm a little nervous talking about some of my own tips and techniques sure. because I'm talking to an expert about burnout. So maybe these aren't appropriate tips at all, but does burnout only have to do with work, Kate, do you think, or does it have to do with life in general?
No, for me and my experience, it really is about our lives in general. I think burnout can show up in so many different ways. It's one of the reasons why I love doing this show so much and bringing on like, you know, guests such as yourself, where we can bring on those different perspectives and we can talk about how burnout shows up differently in our lives. Because yes, it shows up in our career aspect, but I have seen it show up for clients in parenting. I have seen it show up for myself in relationships or even volunteer roles where I just start to feel overwhelmed by the demand of that work, or it just isn't serving the same purpose that I used to have anymore. So I think that that's an important piece. And I love the expertise that you bring in to this, because I think that there's probably, I haven't done the research, but in my mind, I feel that there's probably a connection to definitely transition and burnout, because a lot of people either seek a transition because they're in burnout or they might be burning out because of a transition, but in that connection to grief. And I think people often misunderstand how grief is connected to the transitions that happen in our life. So I'd love for you to talk a little more about that.
And I would love to. Thank you. In fact, I'd love to start with a definition of grief. This definition is from the Grief Recovery Institute, which is the organization where I have my certification from. They invented the grief recovery method, which has been used for, I don't remember exactly, but something like 40 years around the world, lots and lots of beautiful healing that has happened from that work. So the definition is that grief is the set of conflicting emotions we feel as a result of any change or ending in our life. So I want to point out a couple things that I think are pretty cool about that definition. Number one, grief is not a word for any single emotion, right? Like grief is not like sadness or guilt or anger. It's that set of conflicting emotions. And for people like ourselves who've been married or other people that have had kids, you know that sometimes you have a really happy transition that you're really excited about. And there are some things you're giving up. Or some things that are changing. So that's why it could be conflicting emotions, right? Similarly, with a negative experience like losing a loved one, sometimes there are positive aspects like relief that they're not suffering or relief for yourself as a tired, burned out caregiver, right? So one thing I really like to show is that grief is the conflicting emotions. And we don't have to be guilty about the fact that they're conflicting. That's just the human emotion, the human experience. But the other thing that's important about that definition is that it can happen with any change or loss or ending. So, you know, it could happen if you lose a beloved watch. It could happen if you change jobs. It could happen if you have a happy experience like a retirement or an empty nesting or graduation. So that really, to me, broadens the understanding about why grief is such an important part of, like you said, transition or even change management in the corporate world. Grief is at the root of why humans have problems with change.
Oh, I think that's so important. And thank you for bringing up that definition, because I know hearing that gives me a different perspective on grief and that, and thinking about it in terms of those conflicting emotions, and that it's any change really, or loss is helpful, because that just, it's like, okay, so this, it doesn't feel so big or so daunting.
Yes. Good point. Because I think we are socialized to spend like 99.5% of our energy turning our back on grief and making it something horrible and something to be avoided at all costs. Now, I'm not saying it's fun, but it's one of those things that if you go through it, it's shorter and easier than if you spend 35 years and all your energy trying to avoid it, you know?
Right.
So if that helps normalize for you that grief is just kind of part of our everyday experience, and if your audience can feel, you know, take that in and feel some relief from that, that would be, I think that'd be really helpful for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the aspect of, you know, kind of that experiencing burnout and when we think about like the transitions that may come with that, What is something that when you start working with someone on their grief and their transition, what is one of the first things that you have them do?
Actually, one of the very first things is take a review of all the life experiences that they've encountered so far. So the grief recovery method has a list that they call 40 life experiences. I am maybe a little too detail oriented, so I've broken it out. My list is probably more like 100, but I really want people to, you know, recognize things in through, right? So getting really specific on, okay, well, maybe you've experienced a death. Who was it? Why were they important to you? That kind of thing. So even just kind of a high level survey of checking boxes on a list can help us all recognize how much change we've been through, get a broader perspective about things that might have had emotional impacts on us that maybe we didn't even sort of give credit for in the past, right? Like, so for instance, just as an example, all of us when we're young, maybe not all of us, but I would say most, probably experienced the death of a pet, may have moved with our family from one city to another, may have lost a beloved uncle or grandmother or whatever. And if the adults in the world are not recognizing that as significant changes that can cause grief,
right,
they tend to downplay it and sort of teach us that it's not okay to have those emotions, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. when we see a list and can say, oh my gosh, I've been through a lot, and you know, congratulations to me that I'm still standing, and I can clean up some of that, you know, baggage that I've been carrying around yeah. from all of those things, that's what just opens the world mm-hmm. to healing and possibilities.
Yeah. Oh, I love that aspect of the healing and really thinking about like your whole life, the experiences that you've had and what you may still be carrying as part of that. And the loss of the pet made me think of, you know, we had a family dog who was what we were told, you know, was rehomed to an elderly couple and whatnot. And I found out like years later by overhearing, she's going to hate that I tell this story, but overhearing it was probably a good 10 years later, I overheard my mom, you know, saying to some friends that, oh, it's just so sad when we had to, you know, let go of Duchess and put her down. I was like, oh, you said she was rehomed. And so that's what just came up for me in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, let's just give grace to our parents and grandparents.
Yeah, she did a beautiful job. I love my mother, Mama. I love you. You are an amazing mom. And that is not to discount that at all. But it's just interesting that that's what came up for me.
Yeah. Well, so I want to acknowledge both sides of it. Number one, your mom did the best she knew at the time, based on what the adults in her life had taught her about yes. how to help children grieve. Sadly, some of that stuff is not so useful. And it makes the next generation grow up either not acknowledging some of their grief or not knowing how to deal with it. So mm-hmm. for those of us that are parents right now or have both adults and children we can influence, really the best thing you can do is model that it's okay to feel those mm-hmm. negative emotions and model that it's okay and beneficial to talk about it. It's okay to yeah. be emotional. That just helps everyone kind of step into it more. And Kate, would you agree that if we're doing a better job of experiencing and letting go of our emotions closer to the time they're happening, that that can be a preventative for burnout?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that people don't, I think, necessarily recognize when they're in burnout is they want it to end. So what they do is they seek a change, but they don't like process that any of the grief that comes along with that change or the conflicting emotions and those kinds of things. And they get, I think then, you know, they cycle into kind of a honeymoon period in that regard and like, oh, this is new and different. I'm enjoying myself. But if they haven't done the work to process that grief, to process their burnout, it returns. And that's just part of being human, is that we can't really ignore those feelings and those processes, because they have a way of popping back up and saying, hello, I'm still here.
Yes. Yes. I agree. So we were talking before we decided to have this discussion about how rich it was going to be, about all the things that are going to overlap and how grief and burnout really is, if they're not exactly the same thing, they're really closely adjacent and they have a lot to share with each other.
Absolutely. I think, and they impact each other for sure in that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to bring up a topic that might be controversial either between you and I, or maybe with the audience. So, and maybe that's good. Maybe we'll spark some discussion. So one of the things we recognize in grief recovery is the difference between the short-term things we might do to distract ourselves or soothe ourselves. In my work, it's distract from the emotions, right? Or soothe when the emotions get too hairy. Versus long-term healing, which is what the program provides and teaches a person how to do, right? So I don't evaluate that from a place of judgment, but just to recognize that some of those, what we call short-term energy relieving behaviors, they're good tips on the one hand for how mm-hmm. to help yourself feel better when you're in it. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, if they become the only tool, the long-term tool, that's where it can be problematic. So in the grief work, again, if there's a person who has come to over-rely on alcohol or over-rely on food or over-rely on exercise or shopping or any number of those things that are perfectly legit. So that's a distinction that I make. And it actually makes it hard for me to give people tips on how to handle when you're feeling in grief, right? Like, I don't want to I'm down with people using those things, mm-hmm. but my goal is to get them on the road to healing and to identify where those things belong in the bigger picture. They're not the only tools. So yeah. I'm curious if you feel the same way about using those kind of tools to combat burnout.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the recovery aspects that I teach when it comes to burnout are some of those kinds of pieces, like what are things that help get you back to that happiest, healthiest state. But coupled with that, and I think it's similar to like the healing journey that may happen with grief, is really the process of recognizing burnout as it's happening, recognizing those daily burn events, and implementing a consistent recovery process so that you're doing those things. You're doing those recovery things on a consistent basis, even when you may think you don't need them.
Oh, yes. That makes sense.
And I think that's the difference, right? Instead of implementing, you know, something that's like, okay, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed, so I'm going to do a grounding exercise. That's a different experience than I do a grounding exercise at 2 p.m. every day because it helps me.
Smart. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that you're emphasizing that these healthy activities, whether they're things we all have at our disposal, like yoga or running, mm-hmm. or whether they're specific tools that you're teaching or sure. I'm teaching, yeah. the idea is let's do them purposefully. Let's do them as part of our mental and physical healthcare routine, not just as reactions like, oh my gosh, I just felt grief. I need a drink.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great distinction. That's really
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah. And I think that incorporation into our lives is that's what helps us, you know, stay a little more on that even kind of when through the ebb and flow. I think it helps even us out in that aspect. So it doesn't, that it aids in that resilience, right? So those things don't hit quite as hard when they do come up.
Yes, for sure. I love it. Okay. Well, we're going to have to continue working together to support our clients, because the grief recovery method is a great analogous tool probably to some of your yeah. grounding techniques, because it's something that you can pull out in the moment when you realize you need that support and make it part of your routine. Just I try to really teach people to use it over and over and over again, yeah. like I have, and then it's part of my toolkit, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, for resilience.
Yeah, so many great things with the toolkit in that aspect. So Jenny, if you were to offer one additional piece of advice to our audience members, what would that be?
Gosh. So I feel like we've had some good advice already.
Yeah.
I think my biggest piece of advice is take grief seriously. Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize that, because again, people have learned and practiced brushing it under the rug. I want people to realize that grief can and will impact you if left unresolved. Physically, emotionally, socially, if you let anything simmer and fester for too long, it's going to come back and haunt you. So if you know that you're in grief, I really want people to know that there is a solution. It's relatively painless and quite quick. So it's much better to go ahead and get that resolved, learn this tool, and be happy and healthy for the rest of your life. I'd love to make just a quick sort of word picture. Like, if you had a flat tire, would you sit by the side of the road just telling yourself it's okay to have a flat tire and it doesn't merit attention? Or conversely, you know, if you broke your arm, would you carry that arm around going, I'm fine, it'll get better by itself, I don't need that right arm anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, grief is an important part of our mental and emotional and physical health. So take it just as seriously, find an expert, and take good care of yourself, and you'll be so glad you did.
Yeah. So if any of our audience members are like, oh, I need help with this, and I'm ready to do this work, I'm not going to carry around the broken arm with me any longer, how can they find out more about working with you?
I would say the easiest way is to go to my website, which is changenavigatorsllc.com. So Navigators has an S on the end of it, llc.com. And when they're there, there's one great thing I can offer, which is a downloadable free workbook. It'll give you that checklist of life events, as well as a few other reflection questions. Nothing that's going to take you too deep, but that'll help you get a sense of whether you're ready for some help and conversation about your grief. And in which case, there's also an opportunity to schedule a discovery call then.
So. Awesome. That sounds amazing. And of course, we'll have those links available in the show notes for you, dear listeners, so you can find that and can easily connect with Jenny. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Such a pleasure, my buddy. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about the support that we're both giving to your audience, and I wish them all the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. What a great conversation with Jenny about the topic of grief and transition and burnout and how all of those things are connected to each other in this aspect. We are going to move into our recovery moment. And before we do, I want to remind you again to make sure that you hit that subscribe button, download an episode or two, and be sure to share this with a friend who needs to hear it, especially that definition of grief and really acknowledging that aspect of what is it that truly is grief, and that it's that complication, that those conflicting emotions, and that it comes about when we have change or a loss. And think about how often that actually does happen in our lives and how we don't think about it as grief, and we maybe don't process it as grief. I know that I am going to be thinking about the grief process a little bit differently in my life moving forward after that conversation with Jenny. So let's get ready for our recovery moment. We are going to be doing a body scan that brings about a calm mind and a calm body. All right, dear audience members, I want you to go ahead and get yourself into a comfortable position. Remember that I want to make sure that you are safe while you are practicing the recovery moment. So if that's not you right now, take a listen and then come back and do the activity later. So we are going to focus today on calming the body. When the mind grows agitated, the body often follows suit. Luckily, the relationship between mind and body is a two-way street. As you calm the body, the mind will likewise relax. It is a powerful way to encourage the body to relax, and anyone can do it. Go ahead and pick a position in which you want to start this exercise. You can be sitting, standing, or lying down, and it can be done anywhere or anytime you need to calm down. Allow your eyes to close. Take a breath in through the nose and out. And as you breathe, tune into the sensation of breathing at the nostrils. Take a few deep breaths in and out, focusing on the breath, what you feel in the nostrils, and allow yourself to just connect to this present time experience and what you are feeling in your body right now. Begin with your left arm. As you breathe in, picture your arm filling with the energy of the breath. As you breathe out, imagine pushing the breath energy out through your fingertips. Tune into the left arm as you do this, keeping both the physical body and the visualization in your awareness. So connect to the body, feeling the energy, fill your arm and expand out through your fingertips while you visualize the same. When your mind wanders off into thought, bring it back to your breath, in and out. Deep breath in, slow breath out, and a deep breath in, and a slow breath out. Take your focus now to your right arm. As you breathe in, picture your right arm filling with the energy from your breath. As you breathe out, imagine pushing the breath energy out through your fingertips, watching it expand far and wide through the room you're in, out through the walls, out into the open. Keep breathing, filling that arm with energy, releasing it through your right fingertips. Keep breathing in and out. Energy in, energy out. Deep breath in, relaxing breath out. Now, shift your awareness to your torso. Visualize filling your entire chest and abdomen with your breath energy as you inhale. Push the breath down through the bottom of your spine and tailbone as you exhale. In and out, inhale, releasing that energy through an exhale. Breathing the energy in and exhale. One more breath in, filling your chest and abdomen with all that energy and releasing it through the bottom of your spine and tailbone as you exhale. Moving now to your legs, starting with your left leg, breathing in, filling your entire leg with all of that energy from your breath. And as you exhale, pushing the energy out through your foot, breathing in, expanding with energy, pushing that energy out as you exhale, and in, and relaxing breath out, energy in, releasing tension as you breathe out. One more deep breath in and out, releasing and pushing all of that energy out through your foot. Focus now on your right leg. Breathing in, filling your leg full of energy, holding it there for just a moment and pushing it out through your right foot. Breathing in, letting that energy expand within your leg. Relaxing even more as you push the energy out through your foot with the exhale. Breathing in energy, releasing tension as you breathe out. One more deep breath in and releasing the energy out. Now, let's bring it all together. Breathing in and filling your entire body with the breath. Imagine your body being filled with energy from your breath from head to toe, a bright light filling your entire body. And as you exhale, releasing that light and energy out through your fingertips, the base of your spine, your head, and your feet, allowing the entire room to brighten as you release all of that energy with your exhale. Breathing in, filling your entire body from the head to the very tips of your toes to the ends of each of your fingertips. Breathing in and hold for just a moment and releasing all that energy out, watching it expand out through your feet, your fingertips, the base of your spine, and your head as you exhale, releasing any tension that you're holding in your body along with it. One more deep breath in, filling yourself with the energy, filling your body with that light and releasing it. Exhale out and the light releasing out the energy carrying with it, tension and worry out through your head, your fingertips, the base of your spine, and your feet. Rest for just a moment. Allow your breath to just become natural, a nice easy flow in and out. Breathing in and out. Let's take one more deep breath with each other. In through the nose and out. And as you're ready, you can open your eyes to return to your day, carrying with you a lighter body, a more calm mind, and doing the things that need to be done. Remember that for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery show on YouTube. I'm so grateful for Jenny as our guest today, and I'm grateful for each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us on the From Burnout to Recovery show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember to download the free guide on how to recover from burnout in 2 hours a week on my website, drkatesteiner.com. And as always, be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.